Jimmy.
Yeah, should I bring us in? Carmen, you don't have anything you want to bring us in on. We usually bring it in on like a song that incorporates brutal dudes.
Oh, no, I mean, you mean like any song?
Yeah, like do you have a specific song that you would want to sing us in on, or do you have one that like you prefer that I can throw brutal dudes in while I'm singing the lyrics if I know them?
Oh, that's hilarious. Play like a David Bowie song.
Oh, David Bowie.
If that works for you. If not, you can
I
pick
think it no,
Bowie
I
from
gotta
it.
find the right one where it
I
matches
got
Pretty
it.
as
I got
Fuck.
it.
You
I
got
got
it.
it.
Pete's got it.
Yeah. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Let's dance. Put on your red shoes and brutal dudes.
I love it.
Let's sing. Sorry, that's
I
my
love
name.
it.
There you go.
Good job, Pete. It's fantastic.
Great job.
That's Pete's first intro in a really long time, so I'm
Yeah,
happy
it's been a
for him.
minute. It's been a minute.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
And today we have a very special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Carmen Lynch. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We're excited to have you. You are our first lady comedian, and I hate
No.
to say that word as the descriptive, but I need to make sure the audience understands.
In case they think I'm a dude. Yeah.
Just
well, it's in the title of the podcast, so they're just like, you know,
this is a feminine sounding dude.
To, yeah. They're simple
oh, it,
folk.
sa it
we need
says
to lead
lady
them through.
comedian on it.
No,
Okay.
brutal dudes.
Oh no.
Nice.
I'm a dudette.
You're a, we can use dudette, but we usually say sick chick.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I like that.
Okay, good.
That's
Some people
fine.
get offended by the chick word.
I mean, it's clearly a joke. I'm not, if you were like, hey, sick chick all the time, I'd be like, well, dude,
Hey, it's
you
sick
know?
chick Carmen. What's up? It's
Yeah,
good to see you
that would
again.
just sound like I was sick, like I had an illness, you know?
Post-pandemic. No, thank you.
Just walking pneumonia down the streets of
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
So the way that I discovered you and wanted you to come on the show the initially was you were on Soder's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a phenomenal episode. And then I went back
Thank
and
you.
Looked at some of your stand-up, and I was like, I think this person would be wonderful to be on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that was a fun episode. I think all we talked about were my parents'
Your parents, yeah.
Relationship, right?
It was
Yeah.
Hilarious. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was it was fun. It's funny when a podcast takes you down a path that you didn't expect. It's almost like more refreshing.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It's I like that's we kind of do like a free flow, and it's like it's very interesting to see where some of them go. If I'm not mistaken, we had a porn star named Sarah J on who ended up telling us that she likes to do advanced Lego sets, which is not where I expected a porn star interview to end up
Wow,
when we
yeah.
started it. So
yeah, that was really surprising.
I guess you never know what the porn stars like to do on the side.
Yeah, it's crazy because I mean, you know, most people do porn on the side. So it's like, so to reverse that is you're just like, oh, okay.
Lego sets are expensive.
Yeah.
They're complicated too.
Yeah, so you're saying maybe she has a lot of money, you know? She can buy a lot of really good Lego sets.
She said she does the deluxe one, so it's not like it's
Oh.
the little, you know, she's not doing castles and with trap doors and stuff. She's
Yeah.
doing DeLoreans and Ecto-1s.
Has there ever been a Lego set in a porn?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
There had to have been. Somebody has to have. I don't know if it's been a mainstream porn, but I bet there's a fetish for Lego porn.
Somebody doing a Lego, like a really complicated Lego set.
Being done while doing a Lego.
Yeah.
That's
there's
gotta
be,
right?
Be something
that's
out
be a
there.
niche porn section. Or like making like sex toys out of Legos and then like trying them.
Oh, really I just cringe.
Yeah, I know.
You know, here's the thing though. You're instantly going right to like a dildo, right? Or like something that's inserted.
You don't know what I'm thinking.
There's nothing inserted. Right. Maybe it's a like one of the rack devices made out of Legos. They make Star Trek or Star Wars spaceships out of Legos in Disney. You think they can't make a fucking torture rack with a fucking hand rack? Come on.
Now the only positive thing about this conversation is every single Halloween I see the Lego haunted house that comes out for that year. And because I'm dumb, I get excited about it and forget they cost like $800. Immediately click on the link, go to add it to my cart, see how much it is, and I'm deflated. But now, because that's all I'm going to think about is the horrifying pain of Legos, maybe I won't fall for it this year.
I think we just figured out a business that we all can share, the four of us. I think we can
get. I didn't know they were that expensive.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The deluxe ones are like $800.
And I don't do Lego sets, so it's always a surprise to me. Somehow, and I'm dumb, so it's always a surprise to me every time.
People who say they're dumb are usually not dumb.
He's not. You're 100% right. He's not. Yeah. He's smarter than probably all of us. No offense.
It's
to anyone.
Dumb people think they're like really like smart and confident. They're like
that. That is true. I have found that. People who are extremely confident in something are usually wrong about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not ones, cool. I'm confident in a lot of stuff.
No, we're in like an argument setting. Like the more intensely passionate somebody is about their point, the more off base they are about it.
Yeah, it's fair. So what got you into comedy?
What got me into comedy? I mean, I was in New York already. So I was pursuing acting and I kind of just fell into it. And then I just loved it. It was like, it was kind of an accident.
What kind of acting were you trying?
Anything really. I grew up in Virginia and I just wanted to leave Virginia and I loved New York. So I came up and I was like, I think initially I wanted to be in like dramatic stuff. And then I realized that comedy was more fun, you know, like,
okay.
It's, I mean, I would do either now, but comedy just feels like it's just more loose and I liked that, but I wasn't really picking. I just wanted to act, but then I got into stand up and I was like, oh my God, this is so like liberating.
You seem very natural at being funny. I know that sounds like an awkward thing to say to a comedian, but
oh,
like,
thank you.
But like, it's very, you're very much like, you, that's just a little bit that we've been talking, like you chimed right into what we were saying. Like you weren't like, well, let me set this joke up like awkwardly and then tell this joke that I pre-planned. You're like, oh no. And then you just jump right in. Like when you're having a conversation, like drinking a beer in a bar, like you're like, oh, hey, that's really funny. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're an asshole. You spilled all over yourself. Is this your first beer? You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like that naturally comes and it comes off in a lot of your stand up too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I don't know. It's funny. Like I wasn't always like that. I think stand up kind of broke me open. I was very kind of shut down and shy growing up. So I think, you know, getting on stage and being very, not necessarily vulnerable about the material, but just being kind of, practicing being uncomfortable on stage kind of forces you to like open up. You know?
Do you think it's tougher to be a female comedian than it is to be a male comedian?
I mean, I feel like that is, it's only really tough if you want it to be. Like if you, there's so much work out there now, you know, of course it's not equal. Like there isn't always, but it's so different now than what that, I feel like that question was initially asked when it was a huge problem and you know,
so you didn't, there wasn't like a boys club that you had to fight through to get
I
stuff.
I mean, there's always more boys, but you kind of just, I never made it an issue, I guess. I never made it like, I never thought of myself like, kind of like, oh, this is so hard to be a woman. It was always more like, this is so hard.
As a profession. Because,
yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. Cause I feel like in a lot of other genres or a lot of other like things, like, especially creative, like obviously I'm not a female, but like if I was a female, I feel like there would be a lot of like, you have to climb a higher hill because the male dominated stuff, it's like it pushes you out.
I mean,
seeing your interactions with other comedians too, it seems like at least the New York comedy scene seems to be like a very inviting and accepting place for not just different genders, but also like minorities and stuff too. Like everybody kind of seems to get along a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, you do think that like, you know, there are times where I'm like, okay, I know guys are getting paid more for this gig. I just have a feeling. But I try not to let that stop me because in the end, I'm just getting stage time. I try not to dwell on that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you don't feel it as much in New York because, you know, club spots are just their standard pay. The pay is the same for everyone. It's more like if you go on the road and then you can't really argue because you're like, well, I don't know how many tickets I'm going to sell. So I might as well just like keep working on my jokes, do new material, you know, get people to follow me on social media and just move on to the next thing. And honestly, if it's that bad, I just say no. I'm not like, you know, if I sometimes try and ask for more money, but I guess I just don't try and dwell on like, you know, on being a woman and it's sucking compared to men, you know. A lot of that stuff you just can't control, you know.
While we're on this topic, I would really like to have a female's perspective on this specific thing that's been happening to me. So I went on a Ghostbusters kick since the new movie is coming out. Do you like Ghostbusters?
I do. I love the original one. I didn't really get into it once the other one came out.
The lady one?
I watched the new one. Yeah.
It was not good.
I love that one. Yeah.
I did not love it at all.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so it's not just me. I don't want to come off as a chauvinist, but it just really wasn't funny.
Right. I think, just because it has women in it and it's not funny doesn't mean you're a chauvinist, obviously, but I know what you're saying. Like, I'll tell you that it wasn't funny.
I appreciate that you're clarifying, but a lot of the females who I've brought this up to instantly attacked me for being a chauvinist. I'm like, I'm not saying it's bad because there's women in it. I liked Ocean's 8, and that's not to just throw that out there. I really did enjoy Ocean's 8. I thought it was a good movie. But
I also think it's not, you're not saying that because the women in it are funny. Like, you know,
except for Melissa McCarthy. Yes, I'll agree with you. I don't think she's funny at all.
but the movie itself wasn't funny, but right. I'll watch anything with Kate McKinnon. I think she's hilarious.
Oh yeah. She's great. Her SNL stuff is hilarious. It's just, I like, it was Kristen Wiig, right?
Kristen Wiig. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Was it Kristen Wiig then? Oh, okay. It wasn't Kate McKinnon.
No, Kate McKinnon was in it too.
Oh, she was in it too. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're both, Kristen Wiig is I love her. She's great, but it doesn't mean the movie was funny.
Yeah, right. Sorry, and I like, yeah. I even like Leslie, and I don't remember her last name.
Leslie. Jones. Oh my God, Leslie. Leslie's last name?
I can't think of her last name.
Leslie Jones. Oh my God.
That's why I couldn't remember it because it's
the
generic.
Easiest name. Yeah.
but she's hilarious too. And it's just,
yes.
You'd think that all of them together would be good, but they're just, it just fell flat. Like the funniest parts to me were Chris Hemsworth pretending to be a dumb blonde guy.
I've already blocked that movie from my head. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I forced myself through it because I was like, maybe I'm judging this movie from a wrong perspective. And I was like, I'm just gonna sit down and watch it. And I even paid for it on Amazon Prime. I paid to watch it because I couldn't find it for free, and I so regret that. Like, so I could have spent that money on so much other stuff. The newest one?
Yeah, who's in the upcoming
All the original, one? Except for Egon, because he's dead.
Oh, right.
He brought everyone back, yeah.
Ramis, yeah. But everybody, I mean, like...
spoiler alert.
Yeah, right? Annie Potts is in it, Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd.
Is Sigourney Weaver in it?
So I don't know if she's in the newest one, but she makes a cameo in Afterlife.
Oh, okay.
She shows up as Dana at the end of Afterlife in the after credits scene.
Oh, okay.
Because her and Peter, I believe, are married.
Oh, right.
And so they all, you didn't see Afterlife?
No, but I think I heard that somewhere or something.
If you really, if you like the first movie, you'll like Afterlife. It's a good homage to the original. And there's enough nostalgia where you're like, oh, you know, this is awesome. But then there's also enough of a different newer story to bring in new characters where you're not like, this is they're generating this so they can make more money, which I mean, ultimately that's what it's for. But like, it also is like a good continuation of the movie, and the new one looks amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, wow.
But the Lady Ghostbusters was just like, I was like, man, they should have just left this on the shelf.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll agree with you. I agree.
So that's you mentioned
I'm gonna say.
How moving into comedy initially started as a move into acting and then comedy, but you mentioned how you were the shy person before that. What was it like kind of taking that leap, just whether it was comedy or acting, into something that's, you know, creative and artistic like that, where you're not necessarily guaranteed to be able to make a living, not having that 9-to-5 security?
I think it was just, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but it was just this gut feeling, this, like I had been in like plays in high school. And then I went to college and I kind of just forgot all about it. So then when I started dabbling in it again after college, I was like, oh my God, I forgot how much I loved this. And honestly, I think it was because nothing else felt right. You know, it was one of those things like, well, I knew I was either going to get into finance or try acting. And I was like, well, New York City has both.
You know, so fair. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, and it's closer than California than LA. I mean, LA is not known for finance. So why don't I just go to New York and, you know, try both there, you know? And then I just like love New York. I couldn't believe, I never expected to still be living there.
You really love New York that much?
I mean, I love it. I love leaving New York too. Like I love escaping. But when it comes down to it, it's not just love though. It's more like I need to be here because it's like, you know, because of stand up, it just feels right. I don't think I'll like die here. I don't think I'll be old here. But I think for right now, I like it better than say like LA.
Where would you go if you could pick a home base that's not New York?
I think it would be something outdoorsy like Colorado or you know, yeah.
Arizona?
Yeah.
I feel like Arizona would be too hot. Colorado might be okay.
I think Colorado, I don't know Arizona well enough to add that to my list, but I'm actually going to Colorado tomorrow for a week. And I just, every time I go there, I just love it.
I've never actually been to Colorado. That's one of the states I never made it to. I like Chicago a lot. Chicago is my favorite city.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like it's so cold in the winter that I probably wouldn't want to be there. But I do. I haven't been in so long.
You're not wrong. It's cold sometimes in the summer, too, like when the wind hits. I mean, because obviously Windy City, but like it does get cold. But like, I don't know. There's something about that city. You probably feel the same way about New York. It just speaks to me. Like when I go there, I'm like, I feel like I should be there.
Yeah.
Like I belong in that city.
Yeah, but then again, you know, leaving feels so good. Like when I leave and then coming back, it's like, it's almost better because you were gone for a while. So even like sometimes I'm gone for like a whole month and I come back and I'm like, oh my God, I still love New York. But that's because I break it up, you know, and I escape.
I'm not a New York fan.
I wanted to ask if the outdoorsy thing was because like of like where you grew up, because I mean West Virginia is also very very much outdoorsy, or is it because of like?
Oh, I wasn't from West Virginia. I'm just from Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. But I'm sorry.
Don't ever insult me like that again.
Okay. I'm gonna leave.
I think it's just nature. I just love. I've gone on enough trips because I traveled even before I did stand up. So I always loved like hiking. Like I went to Nepal and hiked in the base camp of the Himalayas, and
I climbed
Mount Fuji. And I've, you know, like I just like all that stuff. I went to Alaska and I went on a glacier hike. Like I love all that stuff. So for me, nature is just awesome. You know,
do you do zip lines and stuff too?
That scares me because of the height thing. Like I was in Costa Rica and they had this zip line. It was like a 20 zip lines and maybe like 10 of them were insanely high. And the other 10 were like pretty cool, just like through these like jungly woods and stuff. And I'm like, can I just do those 10? And they're like, nope, they're all connected. And so I couldn't do the whole thing because there were some of them were over these like huge canyons. And
yeah, I'm out. No, no for me.
Like, yeah, I was like, no way. No, I'll get stuck in the middle of it and I'll shit my pants. Like, I'm so scared of that. Like, that would freak me out.
No, yeah. I mean, we're all big dudes. So, like, more Arlok would probably the wire would break and we'd be stuck on like a rope bridge situation like Indiana Jones.
So, when I was in Costa Rica, we went on a rope bridge, we had to walk. It was between two peaks of a volcano.
Oh, great.
And we were walking on the Syrup Bridge, and one of the people in our group was deathly afraid of heights. And right before we went on, they looked visibly nervous. So me thinking I was going to make the situation better, I was like, don't worry. If we fall, we'll die.
Yes. Well, that's funny that you say that, because the options in Costa Rica were, do you want a zip line or do you want to go over these bridges that you're talking about? And I was like, oh, I can definitely do the bridges. There was something about like being in charge of pushing myself down the zip line that made me go, no, I don't want to be in control. Like, I can walk over something, but
yeah.
But I heard that somebody put in my head that if you squeeze the zip line too much, because you don't want to go too fast, you can actually break. Like, you can break as in a car break, not as in a braking break. Do you know what I mean? You can like break it, and then you can't speed up again, and then you're stuck. And I was like, once I heard that, I was like, okay, I'm not doing this.
You either have to go 70 miles an hour, or you're stuck in the middle. That's terrifying. No, you're 100% right.
Well, that's so. Again, maybe to make you feel better, somebody should have been like, "Don't worry, you'll die," which I really thought telling them that was going to make them feel better. It didn't. It had the reversed response to that, where they were a lot more nervous. They were like, "How is that supposed to help me?"
What you should have done.
And I was like, "Well, my thing is like, if we fall and get injured badly, now we're in pain and are going to be ripped apart by animals or die slowly in the elements. Like, we're so high off the ground, we'll just splatter." They're just like, yeah, that doesn't make me feel better at all. Like,
that's a really good point, because then you see people who like jump off a bridge to like kill themselves, and it's not very high, and you're like, you could have picked something better.
Like, I was saying this the other day. I was saying, if I ever got like a terminal cancer, and I know this is a terrible thing to joke about, but whatever, we're joking about it anyway. But like, if I ever got like a terminal disease, like, I would round up like a bunch of like the most terrible people that I could like get with on a plane, and I would crash the plane
in a
blazing fireball into a mountain. Because if you're going to go out anyway and there's like no hope, why not go out in a blaze of glory and take out a bunch of disgusting people with you? Like, I would get a plane full of pedos and just drive it right into a volcano on the plane. You know what I mean?
I think you'd be a hero.
Exactly. And it's like, it's like, because if you're going to go like, I would do a bunch of cool stuff beforehand too. Like, I would do a bunch of stuff that I wanted to do before I died. Like, as much as I could, but like, before I lost the ability to like go do things, I would be like, let's plan this trip. I want to use whatever money I have left, whatever funds I have, whoever wants to sponsor this, let's get all these pedos on a plane, and I'm just going to drive them right into the volcano.
So I want to know how you're going to get all these pedos together. Like, I want to see that newsletter. Like,
do you really want me to make the joke?
Wait, do you mean you have a way of getting them together?
I'm just going to tell them we're going to Sesame Place.
Oh my God.
I was going to say Epstein's Island.
There goes Sesame Place as a sponsor, damn it.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you guys want to see Big Bird?
I'm not going to say the person's name, but a friend of mine
is pedo.
Had serious health issues where there was a really good chance they weren't going to pull through. So they had always wanted to go to Mexico. So they planned a trip to Mexico with some of their friends. I opted not to go. Uh-oh. And the other friends who went with them were very confused by this, why I wouldn't go with them, until they got there. And they, within hours, were calling me just panicked, somewhere between disgusted, horrified, and panicked at the things our friend was doing in Mexico. And I was just like, yeah, that's exactly why I didn't go. And they're like, they told you this is what it was going to be like? I'm like, no, they might die. They're getting everything out of their system with no consequences, potentially.
Yeah, you're
in Mexico. Can you tell us what they did? What were they doing? Like, having orgies?
Yeah.
Just
insane drug-fueled orgies in the shared hotel room with the other friends.
Wow.
And it just really dark, weird stuff.
Yeah.
And the other friends are just calling me like repeatedly, just near tears at the things that they're witnessing. And I'm just like, that's exactly what I would do. Not in Mexico. Like, I would go somewhere colder, but it's the same thing I would do, and that's why I didn't want to see it. That's why I didn't want to go.
So you just had this gut feeling that that's what was going to happen?
Yeah, we've been friends for a really long time.
Oh,
so
you know, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a suspicion that that's where I was going to go. And it was entertaining for me because I was very much aware that no one else was thinking that, who was going on this trip. So if you knew you only had a certain amount of time left, what would you do, since we know where Jimmy's at?
That's so funny. I don't know, because I thought about that, I don't know why, recently. I was like, I wonder what I would do if I had like a week left or even like a month left. And I'm like, do I just want to spend it with my family? But then you're just all sitting on the couch, and you know, it's almost worse for them because they, you know, people act differently if they find out you're terminal, I'm assuming. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not. But I'm sure they'd be like, you know, what do you need? What can it, you know, I almost wouldn't want to tell anyone. So they wouldn't treat me differently.
You probably spend a lot of time reminiscing about stuff that like you remember that's nice, but like you don't really want to think about that if you're going to die. Like you want to think about some good times, but you want to like have a good time before you die. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah. And I'd want to travel, but then it's like you can't really bring everyone with you.
Right.
So I have no idea. I don't know. I definitely, if I had a week left, I wouldn't do comedy. That's for sure. Yeah, I think I'd probably try to go to like some of the most exotic places, you know.
Like before. Bad exotic or fun exotic?
Fun exotic, like, you know, I don't know. Like,
so not like that Snake Island that's like the people are banned from going on because it's like, it's like 80%, 88% poisonous snakes that are just populate the whole island.
No, you like pretty much die if you set foot on it. I didn't even know about it, but oh, yeah. No, definitely not there. But like, you know, I mean, not the Grand Canyon, but something that would actually excite me, you know? Like I don't even know.
Like Aztec ruins in Mexico?
No, I would say something more like a mountain or something. Okay. I don't know. I have no idea.
Would be a good mountain to climb.
And just in case anybody at home is concerned, my friend pulled through.
Oh, he did. I was going to ask you, and then I felt really
very bad. Much still alive. And now those other people have to live with what they saw.
Maybe yeah.
Friend and look them in the eyes and know what they've shared.
Maybe he's alive because of all the orgies he had.
That could be.
I would think so.
I don't know the healing. I don't know the holistic power of an orgy. But I gotta believe that all that
power of cocaine fueled orgies in Mexico.
I gotta feel like all that supercharged positive energy maybe did something.
I mean, I'm talking phone calls in tears. So people like, there's strange men and women here, just no. So much drugs everywhere. It is what happens if we get arrested.
So you're saying you would want to climb.
No, I mean, I'm not, it's not, no, I don't want to climb, but I'm saying something like...
Like an outdoorsy thing.
Like outdoorsy, but like that a lot of people haven't been able to see. You know, I don't want to just go to like the beach, but I want to go somewhere, you know.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it. Just something. No, I get what you're saying. I get what really you're saying. Hard like, to get to.
Yeah, right. Like those, like, those villages, like in the Amazon that like you can't, you have to take a biplane that's taped together to get there.
Or like that beautiful statue in Brazil that looks, is it Jesus, that one on the mountain with the arms out? Is that
yes.
Like, are you allowed to climb to that or is that not a thing?
No, I think you can. There's like stairs going up to it, yeah.
I don't think Brazil has the same rules as LA for the Hollywood sign. I think you can still, because you can't even go to the Hollywood sign anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's a ripoff, dude. I went there with my friend Coco, and he was like, let's go to the Hollywood sign. I'm like, cool, dude. We literally drove past the house where the Tate murders happened.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is cool as shit. We get all the way up. Not that there was, like, murders there, but I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so one of the things that happened to me, because I didn't start traveling until, like, I was very, like, I was older. I didn't travel when I was, like, a kid. We moved a lot.
Wait,
we didn't
do you
travel.
Have photos in front of the Tate house?
Okay. I didn't take photos dressed as Sharon Tate. But
I didn't say dress that. No, I feel like you definitely did.
Did not do that.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing if you dressed like her and then took photos.
I did not dress like Manson. I did not sing any country music while I was in the Sharon Tate house. But I didn't travel until I was like older. And one of the things that was the first thing that you get when you travel, which, I mean, you've traveled a lot throughout your life, right?
Yeah, because my mom is from Spain, and then my dad was in the military, so we were always bouncing around.
Right. So yeah. we kind of moved. It was a little bit out of there, but like between Jersey and PA a lot. But okay. I didn't really go anywhere. Like, I didn't even go to New York until I was like in my 20s. And so one of the things that was like fascinating to me is like all these movies. I'm a huge movie fan since I was a kid. And I would, and I just, you see all these places in movies and you read about them when you're like an avid, because I'm an avid reader too, but you hear about all these places and then you actually get to go and see them. And it's like, once you see them, it's like, oh my God, that's like the thing from this. And it's like, when you go to New York, it was like, I remember when I was in New York and I saw, and we got to Times Square and I'm like, oh my God, that's where the Green Goblin swings around the top. I'm like, oh my God, this is real New York. Like, this is the places that I've seen on TV and movies, like, for all my life. This is it. And it's like, when we got to California, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to the Hollywood sign. This is great. You can't even get up to where the letters are. You have to like sneak in and they like arrest you.
So you just settled for dressing like chickens.
Right, exactly.
You're like, good thing I have my backup costume.
Good thing I got my Manson suit in the back of the car.
Wait, so you're an avid reader? Like, you'll read anything?
Yeah.
What are your... I just finished The Confederacy of Dunces today. Did you read that?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's so good. I can't believe I never read that.
Yeah, I actually... I think it's Howard Zinn is the one that I'm going to get ready to read. It's a history of the U.S.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a different spin on U.S. history. Like Mike and me were talking earlier before we started the show about, I had no idea that George Washington, his dentures were actually made of slaves' teeth, not wooden teeth. I was still under the impression he made wooden teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He actually made dentures out of his slaves' teeth. Like, I didn't know that was common knowledge. I was still like, oh no, he carved them out of wood. That's why he chopped
them. It's weird they don't tell that.
That's what they tell you in class. They told
Yeah. I was like, oh, he really didn't. I thought he was just really good with woodworking. And he chopped down cherry trees. Like, cherry wood is good for teeth, I guess.
You were sitting there reading that in your Sharon Tate outfit covered in fake blood. Like, this guy was fucked up.
I was drawing swastikas on my forehead with charcoal like Manson and writing country music for who was the guy? Charlie Daniels? I don't know who he's. Oh no, he wrote with the Beach Boys guy, right?
Beach Boys, yeah.
I really like Kurt Vonnegut. He's my favorite author.
Oh yeah, he's great.
I love.
Oh no, I'm thinking of who wrote American Psycho.
That's Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's also a really great writer.
Yeah.
I like him. I like a guy. There's a guy named Jeff Perlman. He does a lot of sports docu books, like I guess autobiography books. But he goes really deep in depth for whoever he's like, whatever he's going at.
Yeah.
He did one on the USFL. He did one on Brett Favre. That's like amazing. He did Walter Payton. He did Bo Jackson. And he like learned so much. Like, I learned so much stuff that I didn't know about these guys who were players when I was there. And I really like reading what I've been on a kick for a while is anyone that was a reporter for sports who writes a book about a specific thing that they reported on. It's usually the books are really good. So the one I read was, it was, it was the Dream Team with Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, the first Dream Team.
Uh-huh.
This guy, Jack McCallum, he followed them around and he writes this. It's one of my favorite excerpts of the book. He writes this story about there was a scrimmage game where Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan picked all the players that were on the Dream Team and they made a scrimmage game. It was like a closed door scrimmage, but because he was the reporter that was following the team for the Olympics, he was able to be there. And it was like, literally an all-star game of the NBA, but it wasn't like the all-star game where like everybody's buddies and they're just shooting free throws. It was like if all these guys met on the street and played a street ball basketball game full court. And it was like Jordan was talking shit to Magic Johnson and Christian Laettner was getting beat up by Barkley. And like, it was one of the most intense games that no one has ever seen. And I got to witness it. And he wrote the whole story of it. And I'm like, clearly, because he probably just was going from notes because they didn't film it, but you could like he was telling it like it was playing out like a movie, and I was like, this is amazing, this is so good, and like I love that type of writing that like moves me. Right now, I'm actually reading. I just got through. H.P. Lovecraft's entire works, and oh my god, it took me 2 months to finish because he is so thick with adjectives.
Very dense.
Oh, dude, it was so tough.
I liked his show that was on HBO. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I really wish they would have kept up with that because that was like fantastic. The stories, how they bounced around. I got sucked into that show so hard. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I was surprised that it didn't do well with the viewers.
But his stories are good. They're interesting, but man, it's a slog. I felt like I was walking through a slog. You know that scene in The NeverEnding Story where the Atreyu's trying to pull the horse out of the mud, and the horse keeps getting sucked in deeper and deeper? That's how I felt like when I was reading the book. I was like, I'm never going to get out of this. Yeah. But I did. And then now I'm reading Picture of Dorian Gray, and man, Oscar Wilde is great with words. That guy can write.
Oh, wow. I think I want to hit all the books I never read. Like I just pulled out today of Mice and Men. You know, these are like books that like you were supposed to read in high school. I don't know how I graduated. I never read any of these.
I was an English major in college, so I had to read most of them, but like some are better than others. Like a lot, like luckily for me, it was becoming okay in college to read Frankenstein and Dracula.
Yeah.
When I was going through my English, so I got to read that.
Apparently, Helter Skelter.
Yeah, right. I read Helter Skelter. But they had like they were really good. Like it was cool to be able to read those types of books because for a long time nobody would let you read them. You always had to read like the Red Badge of Courage,
yeah,
like, the Scarlet Letter, and I'm like, they're
the
okay.
What about
books.
The rabbits? What was that rabbit one?
Oh yeah, Watership Down.
Watership Down. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and I'm like. You read them and you're like, okay, this is good, but like I wanted, like I really liked The Velveteen Rabbit. Like that was one of my favorite books in school. And then there was another one called The Forgotten Door that like nobody remembers, but it was about a door to another dimension that a dude just literally falls through and then has to figure out what his life is from then on. It was like a preteen book, and I was like, these are great. But then we had to read Moby Dick, and it like soured me on Herman Melville forever. Because I just couldn't stand how boring that book was.
Oh, so I shouldn't read it? That's also like a really long book.
It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah, so I'll skip that one.
I've never read War and Peace.
Never, me neither.
It's super long.
I had a friend who read it, and it took her, I think it was 8 or 9 months.
Ugh.
But she got through it. And the problem is that like Russian people have like, they go by their like first name, middle name, and last name, and so like when the first Tolstoy wrote it, he'll call them by like whichever name he wants to at any given point. So you gotta like, wait, who's this guy? Like, oh, here's a guy that was talked about like 48 fucking pages ago. Like,
he used names that like stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
I never even read those. What are those? Not Star Wars. The Tolkien guy.
Oh, well, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because they're so long. I'm sure they're amazing, but I was like, I don't want to read long things.
They're good. they're good, but I really didn't get into them until I saw the movie.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to know what happened in the book, and it actually is a lot of it is better than the movie.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
There's a couple of ridiculous things. Like there's just one character that just exists in the forest, and he's like the great Gazoo of like the Lord of the Rings. He just shows up and does nothing and is a purposeless character and then disappears and you never see him in the rest of the books.
I'll say though, that doesn't apply to the Bible because I read the Bible and I've seen Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
There are so many useless characters in the Bible that they were able to just completely cut out of Passion of the Christ and you don't miss them.
They did composite characters in Passion of the Christ.
You don't miss
them. How long did it take you to read the Bible?
It was over the course of a couple of years in school. I went to religious school.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, we had to read like sections of the Bible. So I realized we had read almost all of the version of the Bible that was approved for us. So I just ended up reading the rest of it.
Yeah.
Just as a weird OCD thing.
That's such a braggy. I would love to be like, yeah, I read the Bible. Like, it just sounds like cool. You know,
it's
like,
not good.
I wish that somebody would, I think we talked about this on another episode. I wish they would make a cool, like, series, like an action series of the Bible. Like, tell the stories of the Bible in, like, an action
like a Kevin Sorbo Hercules, but it's the Bible.
Right, exactly. But something like that, because it would make it interesting to read the stories, because the stories do have good, like...
Wait, did you see last week's episode where Jesus fought that CGI dragon?
But wait. Also, like, because I know what you mean, though, because growing up, I grew up Catholic, and my parents are still Catholic, but I don't practice or anything. But I had, like, Bible books, like, you know, Bibles for kids.
Bible comics, yep.
And it's like Noah's Ark was the only one that I could really like, because it was like, you know, it had animals in it, and then they were on a boat, and it was fun.
Yeah, and then you read the Sodom and Gomorrah one, and then it's like all these people who practice, like, weird things get smitten, and it's like... But if you did that in an action movie sense, like, think about it. You're a guy who's trying to escape from there. Like, maybe just a mail delivery guy who's just, like, dropping off some, like, pecans for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you have to escape Sodom and Gomorrah because God's smiting it all down. Because then he can get it to the end, because he's not part of the decadence.
In IMAX 3D.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
In 4D, like, there's, you know, there's weird stuff hitting you in the face, and pecan smells all over the place, fire burning. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you told it, like, David versus Goliath would be an awesome, like, awesome if it was set in, like, space.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Goliath
that sounds like something the History Channel would do.
I feel like it would be an awesome way to take the Bible, like, to take it seriously enough where, like, yes, you understand that not everyone's going to see these as not just stories, but, like, to tell the stories of the Bible with their actual moral meanings, but tell them from a way so, like, other people can appreciate it. Like, it'd be the same way if you look at, I'm trying to think of another religion that does this, like, that you know the stories of them just from having, like...
Scientology.
Yeah. But yes, not that Scientology, you know, is you know, whatever. I guess it's legit. I don't want to say that and piss everybody off. But to tell the story of Scientology, or like Mormons, to tell this, like, the Book of Mormon, it's a joke, but it tells the actual story of the Mormons. Like, I said a million times, Monty Python's Life of Brian is a hilarious take on the Bible. It really, it's a funny way to look at the action.
I'm picturing, like, a spy action movie, but it's L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, you guys can make it.
Yeah, dude. Brutal Dudes present.
The Bible.
The
Brutal Bible.
Bond Bible.
The Brutal Bible. The Brutal Bible is a great title. Yeah.
Bible Dudes. Oh. Bible Dudes Anthology.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Carmen, for this wonderful idea for something that we can work on.
You're welcome. And when you get rich, I get 5%.
You're going to be in it.
Absolutely.
Oh, great.
You're going to be in it. We're bringing
it full circle back to the acting. Who from the Bible do you want to portray?
Yeah.
Who do you want to portray for the Bible?
Well, I mean, I could be Mary, but she wasn't this tall. I should be an angel or something, maybe.
Okay. Absolutely. Do you want to be a fighting angel, or do you want to be one of those, like, angels that saves people?
Oh, now I want to kind of do both. Can I be both?
You want a sword swinging fire sword angel?
Can I be, like, a confused angel who doesn't know if she's good or bad?
Yeah.
Do you want to be biblically accurate with, like, 1,000 eyes and 17 wings?
Sure.
Maybe that could be your form in real, and then like Saint Michael could make it, like, he could make it, like, so you look like just a normal human to regular eyes.
I'm already interested. So,
I would have said Jesus, because spoiler alert for anybody at home who's not familiar, he's the main character, even though he doesn't pop up until the second half. He becomes the main character.
And, you know, these days women are getting more roles. So, and also I'm Spanish, so I could be like Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yes.